Yo, Nicole.
Hi, what's up?
When you think of 90s teen comedies, what comes to mind?
Saved by the Bell.
Oh my God, me too. We're
Yeah.
not talking about that today.
What are we talking about?
We're going to be talking about the other important 90s teen comedy. We're
Mm.
talking about Boy Meets World. So, as usual, I'm Rolando,
And I'm Nicole.
and this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals
An original podcast about
about unoriginality.
unoriginality. I guess let's do this because I'm not excited for Boy Meets World.
The shade of it all.
How are you today, Rolando?
I am here. It's been a long day,
I'm
but
here too.
we made it. It's been a
Yeah.
long week watching lots of Boy Meets World and
Girl Meets
Girl
World.
Meets World.
Yeah, that's what we're covering. Boy Meets World and Girl Meets World.
And
And
as usual, we are here. Eddie Z, our producer, and Josh, our technical producer.
hey, everybody.
Josh, 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 Josh. I need an Eddie Z song. Eddie Z, Eddie Z, Eddie Z, Eddie Z. There we go.
That's
Boy
cool.
Meets World, Girl Meets World.
Boy
We're doing
Meets
it.
World, Girl Meets World. So, Boy Meets World was airing during TGIF. For those of you who remember, TGIF was the Friday night block on ABC. It has such great shows like Family Matters, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Step by
Classic.
Great
Step,
Wonderful
Hanging with
shows.
Great
Mr.
shows
Cooper,
like
which was
Family Matters.
The
Hanging with
best of
Mr. Cooper
television.
was my favorite of the 90s show. I think it needs desperately a remake, and I hope Mr. Cooper comes back.
I don't know that show. Do
You
you
don't
know
know
that
Hanging
show?
with Mr. Cooper? Oh my
No.
God. Does anyone here know Hanging with Mr.
Was that on
Cooper?
TGIF? I know
That
of
was
it,
TGIF.
but
That was
was that
usually the last
TGIF?
show. No?
I think I
No?
was asleep by
Everyone
then.
here is dead to me.
Again?
Boy Meets World was one of those shows that was part of the TGIF lineup. And I would say one of the higher rated shows, especially probably season 4 and 5. But yeah, so, and you know, the show followed Corey Matthews. Like I said, season 1, he was a little bit of a bro. By season 2, he's thinking now more about girls. And I think season 1, I think the show was more like a family show when I think of, you know, it really focused on family. Season two really focuses on kind of girls. It's still kind of family
True.
oriented, but by season 3, I think the show kind of became like a teenage show. That's the target audience, tweens and teens.
Yeah.
And that was the demographic that I was in when I was watching this show. So.
I didn't really watch this show. Growing up, I watched the Friday night slot on Nickelodeon. I think that's when all that was and other shows. So I didn't really watch this at all
All
growing
right,
up.
I'm going to correct you there. That's called SNICK.
SNICK
And that
on
was
Saturday.
Saturday night, Nick.
Well, then I was out with my friends on Friday.
I didn't
But
what to
like,
call. My mom would not let me go out, so
oh, really?
my
Aw.
friends were Cory and Topanga.
Didn't watch this, though, is the point. So when I just recently watched it for the first time, and how I would sum up the first season of Boy Meets World is like they made a 10-year-old Woody Allen. Yeah.
That's okay, yeah.
He's just like there complaining, or Jerry Seinfeld, like the whole time. It's like, I can't believe it. Like, he's just like, it was a little much, actually. I was like, there's no 10-year-old like
Hilarious.
this.
I never thought about that, but yeah,
Really?
that's a
It's so true.
very apt way of putting it. Like, yes, that was our Corey Matthews. But you notice the difference between characters between season 1 and let's say even like season 2 or 3, right?
Yeah, well,
Like they
there's a
changed
one
character.
character that like I missed something when he made the shift from ladies' popular kid to complete insane moron.
Oh, you're talking about Eric
Yeah.
Matthews. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the interesting things about this show. Like all the characters kind of went through that kind of thing. Like they started off as one thing. Like even Topanga, right? Topanga started off as like this flower child, kind of like
Yeah.
hippie. And by season 2, she's kind of like this knockout. No explanation as to why. I guess she just straightened her hair and that's just like,
That's
oh,
it.
yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
The
yeah.
producers realized like, oh my God, she's beautiful. Why are we using her as a flower child? She's gorgeous.
Yeah. And
And
she's like very put together after that, like studious.
yeah, and Corey quickly finds himself smitten with her. Although they started kind of introducing the fact that they might be an item season 1
Yeah.
when they
The
had
first time
their
they met.
their first kiss and stuff. That was
Yeah.
cute.
I saw that
Little
episode.
cute moment in the show.
Because then you'd know. It's not what you look like on the outside that matters. It's what kind of person you are. You shouldn't kiss somebody you're not married
This is
to.
your first time watching it, right? You're 29?
I'm 29.
You're 29. What is it like watching Boy Meets World as a 29-year-old?
Painful. I mean, so I'm being a little too harsh on it. It's not a terrible show at all in terms of 29-year-old lesbian. I'm also an old soul. I really like a lot of old stuff, and I like things that kind of question me and make me think. Mm. So for a show that kind of just like hands you everything on a silver platter, mm-hmm. like this is it, like ties it up in a little bow, and it was from a couple years ago, centered around white boys in suburban Philadelphia, I'm assuming. It's just not my thing.
They were supposed to be in Philly, like actual
Philly. Within Philly?
Yeah, like okay. Within Philly, not even the suburbs.
Having said that, though, I see what people like about it, and I know the big thing about it is the nostalgia factor for people, the people who grew up with it. I will say that the show, from what I've gathered from like the 20 or so episodes that I watched, it was a good family show. It proposed a lot of familial values and the importance of friendship and family and love and all this stuff. But it's just like, it's too cookie cutter for me.
It's from its era,
mm-hmm.
without a doubt.
The 90s?
The 90s.
What year did it come out?
I think 93. Oh, wow. No. Okay, so 93.
Okay.
And I don't even think I really started watching Boy Meets World until like maybe 96. So that's around season three.
Mm-hmm.
See, for me, this is one of those shows where I could still watch it. And yeah, I feel like a little kid again, but I still enjoy the show.
That's
and
true.
Even if I take off those nostalgic glasses, I'm just looking at it objectively. It's not a bad show. It's entertaining enough. The characters are all entertaining enough where mm-hmm. I just like, I enjoy it.
Yeah, in terms of like 2018 obsession with 90s nostalgia, I will say that like when I went back and rewatched Saved by the Bell, I'm like, this is a terrible TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Morris is trash. You see the Funny or Die?
I have seen it.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go to Funny or Die. I mean, go to YouTube and just type in Zach Morris is trash. It's amazing.
We're going to add that to our show notes just cause.
Watching Boy Meets World, I'm like, this isn't actually as terrible as other shows of its demographic would be, like a teen show on ABC of all channels too. Looking at that, I have a lot of respect for this show, but at the same time, like there's something that it's kind of lacking for me. We should talk a little bit more about the characters before I go into certain episodes I really want to talk about.
So let's talk about, all right, we'll talk about Topanga. Topanga, main character from the show, season one, again, totally different from how she is from the rest of the show.
Yep.
What were your impressions of Topanga?
I think she's so gorgeous, and I see why everyone was so smitten with her, not just like Corey, but the audiences, but they made her one-dimensional. They did not give much dimension to that
Interesting.
Girl.
Interesting.
I don't think they did. From what I've seen now, of course, as a person who did not watch the entire series 20 times in a row, I can't really accurately say this, but from what I got from Topanga, and there's an episode in particular that I want to give an example of when she gets sexually harassed, is that she just kind of stands by and lets other people make decisions for her, even though the sexual harassment happened to her. And then when she goes to college and she's offered things, she also doesn't decide for herself and all this stuff. And granted, she does decide. She keeps other people very much. And it's still obviously that whole decision is not even about her, which is interesting because it's her decision.
What decision? Wait, what are you talking about?
Where to go to college. Topanga is given one hell of an opportunity to go to Yale. She's given this amazing opportunity to fly, you know, to like come out of her cocoon and fly. And she doesn't do it for Corey. Her decision was around a boy, and it's supposed to be this beautiful romantic thing when they get married, and it's not. It's sad. It's devastating.
Mm.
It really hurt me, actually.
So I agree with you. I think her giving up Yale for love was not, it wasn't my favorite storyline, but I did love the very next episode, after the engagement, was when they tell their parents, and Corey's mom tries to smile throughout the whole thing, and like she's about to toast him. She's just like, you know what? I can't. She looks at Topanga's like, why didn't you just go to Yale?
I can't do this. This is a mistake. Why couldn't you have just gone to Yale?
But she just calls her out for.
Yeah.
She just drags her, and I loved it because I feel like a mom would have that reaction, right?
Yeah.
I think the mom reacted appropriately.
She did. It was absolutely devastating. Feeny said to her, the only reason why you shouldn't go is if you have a really, really good reason. And Corey is not a really, really good reason.
I think it's
a bad message for kids too, by the way.
No, Mr. Feeny for sure was trying to, I think even the way Mr. Feeny was written, like they never made him outright say that he was against their relationship, but he was definitely very much around those edges saying, he's just like, no, don't be stupid.
Yeah.
Go to Yale.
Unless you have a very good reason for not going to Yale, you should go.
If you're going to take anything away from Boy Meets World, the one thing you shouldn't take away is falling in love and like staying with that one person that you've been with since you've been 12 years old. Go out, live a little, experiment. But so, yeah, I don't like that message, especially for young girls. But, you know, I'm not trying to say anything against high school sweethearts or whatever. I feel kind of bad because it's like, what do you know if you grow with the same exact person? How can you grow when you grow with someone that's right there? What do you know about yourself when you have to learn for them, too? I have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. But whatever. That's pretty much my problem with the way they handled Topanga.
Topanga is very much defined. And this is also a fault of Corey's character. Mm-hmm. They're very much defined by their relationship.
Which is so unfortunate.
It is incredible. So that's where I think the show starts losing it. All of a sudden, those characters that kind of became relatable for high school are these unrelatable caricatures of like what love is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And yeah, I 100% agree with you. Yeah, she does become one-dimensional. I think in the high school ages, she's kind of...
She's better.
Less so. Yeah, she's a lot better in high school. By the time she's in college,
reverse of Corey, where she's actually better developed in the beginning and then she loses it. And mm-hmm. I don't know if this writing team had more men than women or whatever. I don't know the ratio there.
I mean, as 90s, probably.
Probably more men, but at times it felt like they didn't really know how to write for her.
Mm-hmm.
The one time I did really like Topanga, I was like, this is great, I could actually feel for her, is when, I think in the second or third season, they get together, but then they break up because she needs to like find herself.
Mm-hmm.
But then he traces her down to Disney.
Okay, yes.
Like, oh my God, like, one, unrealistic.
The Disney World episodes are always important for ABC shows.
ABC, yeah.
After Corey and Topanga's kiss in the Epcot Center, I was just like, I want that.
but regardless, so that was one of the only moments that I like was like, this is dimension to Topanga. And then after that, it just kind of went downhill. So I'm a little disappointed because she's one of the only main female characters in the show. And she had this great opportunity too, especially when they give her episodes like the sexual harassment one, but it becomes Corey's episode.
It does. Well, you know, in Corey's defense, that was his brother sexually harassing Topanga. It was Fred Savage playing a teacher.
Yeah, he was such an asshole. He did an asshole, like a condescending asshole.
I like that episode, to be quite honest, just because I liked kind of how Fred Savage's character really kind of flipped the script when like she calls him out on harassment. He's like, what are you talking about? You harassed me. And then she's just like, I think it ends like months ago with her like looking like shocked that he said that.
Yeah, like what?
And then there's like a whole trial going on. So this is also, it's so funny, right? Because this is such a, it's sad, but like this kind of problem hasn't really evolved since like the 90s, or I guess it was maybe the early aughts.
Yeah, it was actually really woke for it to like do an episode like that. And to see the problems where it's also like, at first, well, the woman did, thank God the dean was a woman.
Yeah.
But she like ended up believing Topanga, but a lot of people, they don't believe you at first.
No, it's true. I mean, that's true. That's par for the course though.
Yeah. But for people who don't know what we're talking about, I guess we should just clarify. There's this episode called Everyone Loves Stuart. It's when they're in college and they all really love this guy who's like kind of like the next Feeny.
Yeah, he's like the young professor. He's handsome. You know, everyone's smitten with him.
And then he enters Topanga's dorm room. Sits down under the pretenses of wanting to talk about her essay, conveniently waits till her friend Angela leaves, and then makes a move on her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. And that's highly inappropriate, first of all. That's not even talk about sexual harassment. It's inappropriate, which Feeny talks about in the episode.
Of course, yeah.
But I guess going back to the characters.
Let's talk about Sean, the next major character in this show.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about Sean?
He is used for all of the things that they need to tackle in terms of less privileged children. You know, he didn't really have like a proper upbringing. He doesn't have a home. And then like, he's the one who gets into weird shit. Doesn't he do drugs or something before?
Alcohol.
He drinks alcohol before he gets involved in a cult.
Yes.
Which was weird.
The cult episode.
So he's kind of like used as that. And then like Corey kind of has to save the day, except for the one episode where Corey breaks up with Topanga and then he drinks too much. And then like people only like him when he drinks a lot. So that was like the only time that Corey did it. But from what I saw,
but
they just used Sean to like tackle like issue.
But Sean had the alcohol problem. Sean was the one who like they revealed. It's just like your father has alcoholism, you dummy.
Yeah. But I liked him as a more relatable and enjoyable character than Corey.
Sean was definitely the foil of the series.
Mm-hmm.
He was definitely used to kind of show all the qualities that Corey has that Sean, you know, helped.
They're yin and yang.
Yeah. They are.
Sometimes you're like, would they be friends? And then other times you're like, I guess they would.
It's so funny, right? Their friendship irked me when I was watching it initially.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I guess maybe I just never found it believable, but as time went on and stuff, I come to appreciate that friendship more and more.
Okay. You believe it more and more.
I believe it more and more, I guess, seeing it. Like, maybe as adults, I think we all have that one friend that we're constantly looking out for, right?
Yeah.
If we have it together.
Yeah.
I would hate, I'm sorry, if you're listening to this and you don't have that friend, it's because you're the friend he's yeah. looked out after.
But it also becomes like this great romance.
It does yeah. become, yeah. So that's one of the funny things about the show. Uh-huh. As the romance develops, like especially in the college years, there's constantly gay jokes about them, that they're basically a couple.
Yeah.
Aren't you going to say it? Say what? You miss me too. No, I'm not going to say it. You don't miss me? Let's not talk about this right now.
And then it gets out of control when Corey gets married to Topanga.
Right.
And then Sean makes it all about him. And then they have this like weird fight in the middle of it. And then she, while she's saying her vow, Sean's like right there listening to it. It was a little, I get it. It was gag, whatever, joke delivered. Not happening in real life, but that's because also they didn't write Topanga that well, and she just kind of like dealt with all this shit, did whatever Corey wanted her to do, or whatever she wanted to do for Corey. Her life was about Corey. Whatever. We're talking about Sean, though.
Yeah, so I mentioned before I wasn't a fan of like the friendship. Mm-hmm. Sean, I think over time, with time, he kind of grew more and more on me. Probably he got a little more grounded when he discovered his half-brother. And I think he when his father died, that's another one where he kind of had some solid footing. But I guess that all really started developing more so when they really kind of started fleshing out this relationship he had with one of his teachers who kind of pseudo adopts him, mm-hmm. Mr. Turner, who also is notorious for just abruptly disappearing in the show after a motorcycle accident, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this character,
I guess he died.
Did not die because he gets brought back, mentioned in like one of the episodes in the future. And then we're talking like in, I think it was a series finale for Boy Meets World. He comes back as a guest appearance, but then they also drop his name like when they're in their senior year. They're like, oh, hey, look, it's Mr. Turner. And they kind of wave at him. He wasn't on camera though.
So terrible.
Yeah. And it's crazy because this character and Sean, they had such a important relationship, right? Because Sean at this point had such a flawed relationship with his father that Mr. Turner kind of became his father figure. Mm-hmm. And he was even interested in kind of adopting him. And yet, all of a sudden, like, he gets into this horrific car accident after Sean gets involved with the cult. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, like, that's it. We never hear from him again. Yeah. So, the show really tries to make it up with, like, these little, like, drops. It's just like, there's Mr. Turner. And it doesn't work out. So, the other part that starts grounding Sean is actually, so outside of his relationship with Mr. Turner, the other thing that kind of starts grounding Sean a little is finally when he gets his first girlfriend. His first long-term girlfriend, and that was Angela, who is the next character I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
So, how many episodes did you see with Angela?
Not that many. I liked Angela. Obviously, I'm going to gravitate to one of the only people of color on the show. I liked in the Everybody Loves Stewart episode where she like makes a joke and then she's like, I need to get more black friends. And it was like, yeah, honey, you do need to get more black friends. I found the group of friends also kind of incestuous and weird in how they did everything together. Mm-hmm. Went to college together. And then it's like Topanga and Corey are moving to New York. So why don't Eric and Sean move too? Mm-hmm, what? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, guys, it's called space.
Yeah. This really
That's probably why they haven't had sex yet.
I mean, this really warped my idea of what friendships are supposed to be like.
Yeah.
Because for the longest, I was like, we're all supposed to go to high school together and like we're going to go to college together.
Yeah.
I learned quickly. It was just like, nah, I don't want to go to high school with you guys. Yeah. And I don't want to go to college with you guys. I'm just like, I want to do my own thing.
Let's just like meet up once a week, maybe. I guess if Sean was the foil to Corey, she was in some ways the foil to Sean. And I thought she was a greater representation of a girl, better than Topanga.
Oh, no, I agree with you. She's okay. Actually the foil to even Topanga. She could be arguably the foil to like all the characters, right?
Yeah.
She was level-headed. She was kind of grounded. Mm-hmm. She was realistic in a sense, right? And kind of, she was smarter than everybody. Even that Topanga was supposed to be the smart one, right? She was clearly, she had like the emotional EQ. So she definitely held her own in the EQ portion.
Yes.
And she was just a really, really, I think the relationship that Sean and Angela had, which was kind of like this tumultuous, like really passionate, really on and off again kind of relationship, much more real life than Corey and Topanga's like perfect love. And I think Angela, interesting enough, Angela and Sean played a really important role in terms of the 90s representation of relationships because they were an interracial relationship. However, I guess you didn't see that many episodes. Mm-mm. The show was very much colorblind. I feel like they really wrote Angela's character not with a black woman in mind. They just wrote a character. Angela just happened to, you know, the girl who plays Angela ends up getting the part, and she ends up becoming important because the relationship was, like I said, it was colorblind, but none of their relationships, none of the aspects of their relationship ever focused on race. Like if they had problems, it was nothing racial. it was usually because Sean was kind of immature, mm-hmm. his relationship with Corey, that kind of stuff.
And catered to the white man. Mm-hmm. I mean, so what are your opinions on that then? Do you think they should have tackled that?
I think for this show, it necessarily, it's not that it wasn't its place, because I don't think that's a thing, right? Like, I've mm-hmm. argued, it's just like, anyone can do whatever they want. The show, being colorblind, I think was fine for its audience. The reason being that if you're a young black girl and you're seeing that these people have no problem with the fact that, like, he's dating a white
guy.
Your
color isn't an issue. Yeah.
It's not an issue, and you're not really, you start putting less, at least you start, like, thinking less. And it's not to say anything, and that's not to take away from the black experience, right? Because I think you do need characters that can speak to that.
Mm-hmm. The show is meant for kids, you mm-hmm. know? So this is a great representation for people of color to grow up and watch mm-hmm. and be like, wow, I actually do fit in. No one's going to make it, like, say anything about my color.
Right.
And that's because it's for children, that's actually really important. We need to make more things for that. For all minorities across the board.
Agreed.
All right, so what about Feeny?
Of course, I forgot to mention Mr. Feeny. So Feeny, yeah. the teacher who becomes a principal, who becomes a teacher, then the college professor.
He follows these people everywhere.
He's a stalker. the next door neighbor. Yeah, what's there to say about Feeny? He's like the mentor of the group.
Yeah.
You know, he's like this lovable old man.
Yeah, he just like whenever a lesson needs to be had and something, he just like comes in almost as if on cue.
Yeah.
And he just like delivers what the characters need to hear, to the point where in the finale of the show, he's like, all right, now's the part where you tell me things. And now's the part where I'm going to pretend like I'm not hearing it, but I'm really hearing it, Mr. Feeny or whatever. So it was like they at least knew that it was a convention
mm-hmm.
and that Feeny's role was just that. A lot of people were like, oh, it's so sad when Feeny says goodbye to them and all this stuff. I didn't find anything about that sad.
Oh, I did. You never watched the show.
Emotional connection.
Yeah, I had the emotional connection when like Feeny lets go of the kids. It's just like, that's such a sad scene because, you know, I think they were trying to get him to say, it's just like, just admit that you loved us more than everybody else. And Feeny was just like, I will do no such thing. Right, because he's a teacher, he's supposed to love all his children equally.
Yeah.
But as soon as they leave, he's just like, you know, that goodbye at the end.
Believe in yourselves. Dream. Try.
I didn't cry, but I was definitely like just like, oh, Mr. Feeny. And I liked Mr. Feeny. I think what I really liked most about Mr. Feeny was more so the relationship that forms between him and Eric, because Eric was like this, he was a fuck up really, like in terms of like IQ and just character development. However, I think I do prefer him. I prefer stupid Eric because he drops funny one-liners here and there.
I guess.
The way he always calls out Feeny's name.
You found it's that, okay.
I'm like a fan of it. And
You ever like go to YouTube, type in like watch a sitcom without the laugh track?
Yes.
And like watching Friends without a laugh track is like, it's really weird. It's one of those things where if you take out the laugh track and you just really listen to Eric and stuff and like the way that people talk to him, like this guy should be put in an insane asylum. And it's like, it's whatever. Like, I know it's a sitcom and I'm not going to expect more out of it than I should. But at the same time, like he's raping and murdering women on the side. You know, that's like the vibes that I'm getting
from
him.
Where are you getting those vibes from?
Are you kidding me?
We watching the same show?
I am so getting those vibes.
Madam.
Okay. Actually, remind me to get into that when we talk about Girl Meets World.
All right, fair enough. So despite the fact that like Eric was like this you know, heartthrob character that kind of turns into like this dummy.
Yeah.
I think what was nice about the friendship that he formed with Mr. Feeny was because Feeny always saw, he's like, no, you're more than just a pretty face, Eric. You can be so much more if you just apply yourself. And sure, Eric never lives up to those expectations, but you know, I think the friendship that they formed was always, it was sweet. It was nice.
Yeah.
You know, I liked it. I appreciated that friendship growing up more so than like the friendship between even Corey and Sean. Obviously, that's changed. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, the friendship between Eric and Mr. Feeny, I felt was more important, nicer. My favorite episodes come from like season 4 and 5, which is they're in their later high school ages. So like junior, senior year. I think part of the reason I like that season is I think the problems that Corey was going through, I can relate. Like kind of, again, they were really focusing on kind of like the fact that they really exploited the fact that like Ben Savage is not a conventionally attractive guy to be on TV.
Yeah.
And they really exploited the shit out of it, mm-hmm. especially for season 4 when he has like these really thick curls. He's just like, really going through this gawkiness and stuff. And then he's dating Topanga, of course.
The gorgeous
so they're
girl.
Yeah, so they're going to call it out. It's just like,
sadly, it's so realistic.
We had to be real. At least they called it out. It's calling it what it was. It's just like, yeah. we don't know how he ended up with her, but this is what happens.
All right. Yeah. But it's also really realistic to see a gorgeous woman with like a not so gorgeous guy. Like, you never see it the other way around is the point. Like, I don't really care like about looks and everything, but you never see a really gorgeous guy with a not so great looking girl.
Yes, so I would agree with that. Yeah. I agree with you there. I think that's what happens.
So, but like, that's the thing, like, when there's always like a, you have to learn to like, oh, you love me for who I am, and like, oh, I'm flawed and I'm not that great. But it's always like girls learning that about guys. Like, you never see it the other way around. But I digress. I don't really have any favorite episodes. I will say that there was, you said you could relate to it, and it's also growing up with it.
Yes, thinking back on the show, it could be very much nostalgia and rose-colored glasses that I'm looking back on the show. However, I've been trying to rewatch the show objectively for this podcast, and even then, I still think the show, it's funny. I think it handles its sweet moments well. Sure, it was a sitcom. It was a sitcom. It was 90s. I could still enjoy it, though.
Yeah, I didn't grow up with the show, and it centered around, you know, white boys in the 90s and all this stuff. And the only relatable girl character is Angela. You know, I'm so disappointed. I saw so much potential in Topanga in the first couple episodes. I'm like, oh, she's going to be the character I really, really like. And then she disappoints me, which is no fault of her own. There's not much of a connection that I can actually have with this show.
Right. So this is 29-year-old Nicole talking
about... I'm 29.
29. That's what I said. I almost said my age. Yeah. 29-year-old Nicole talking about a show dedicated for kids. So I can...
But yeah, but even if it was dedicated for kids, even if I grew up
Okay. Like, so you think even growing up, you wouldn't have enjoyed
it? Yeah. I mean, Saved by the Bell, I have no desire for a reboot of that. You know, I don't really care for any of the 90s nostalgia about it, because at the end of the day, even though I watched it growing up, there's nothing that draws me back to it. I have nothing related to that show.
I have less of a connection with Saved by the Bell than I even do with Boy Meets World. Now, I'm going to say this. It could be a result of how heavily syndicated Boy Meets World was. Because World was very, very heavily syndicated. I remember it playing all the time on our local channel 11.
True.
And then eventually the Disney Channel picked it up and would just play it nonstop. So this could be how it just fed into my
ear. If you had cable growing up, you had a lot of options for shows that were rerunned. And the shows that I gravitated to were very particular to me. I watched Roseanne growing up a lot. And I watched The Golden Girls. So I would rather watch a show about four older women growing up than Boy Meets World, because there was just that connection level,
That says so much about you.
So much about me. So much. And designing women.
But now, you're 29 years old looking back at Boy Meets World, so I can only imagine what...
Looking for the first time, too.
Well, that's true. But now I can only imagine what 29-year-old Nicole has to say about its spinoff, the revival, Girl Meets World.
Is this where we begin?
This is a segue.
Okay, so here's the thing. Original theme song... Boy Meets World. Boy Meets World. Wandering down this road that we call life. And the Boy Meets, right, it's like really weird Beach Boys ripoff.
I don't know what that song is about.
Yeah, that song is really terrible. But the Girl Meets World song, I feel alright, I'm gonna take on the world. Light up the stars,
I've got some pages to turn. I'm singing, what's your point?
It's a great song.
it's catchy.
I think the song for Girl Meets World is just like, I think it's just way better. So Girl Meets World, what is Girl Meets World about?
So Girl Meets World takes place after, so at the very end of Boy Meets World, I guess we didn't talk about this, right? They end up moving to New York. I forgot why they moved to New York though.
Topanga got an internship in a law firm.
An internship. Okay, so that's why. So yeah, I kind of figured it was Topanga related. Girl Meets World takes place between, I want to say 11 or 12 years after the original. Topanga has had two kids. Corey is teaching in high school. And
Topanga's a lawyer, though.
And Topanga's a lawyer. Yes.
Other than had two kids, yeah.
She's a lawyer who became eventually a...
She pretty much carries a family.
She carries... Yeah, sure. Of course. A teacher salary in New York City? Carries a family. Although I have to talk about the world that Disney creates for New York City.
Yeah, right? I love how she's the lawyer that carries a family and lets them live so comfortably, and yet we never see her at work.
No, because she eventually ends up owning a bakery.
Yeah.
Called Topanga's Cafe. So basically the show follows, instead of Corey and Topanga, now we're following their daughter, Riley, and her best friend, Maya. And Maya and Riley, I would equate them basically to Sean and Corey.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I was a little sad that, like, I felt like Sean, according to Topanga, should have had a child that was more like Sean. And that, like, the best friend should have been the Corey-like character.
Oh,
to kind of mix things up a little. Mm-hmm. Instead of making, like, the wholesome family have the wholesome kid. And then, of course, like, another fuck-up. I want to say that this show is definitely aimed for a younger audience than the original was targeted for. Disney Channel's demographics skew into tweens and younger. At least, what's it called? TGIF. That was aimed for families. So that could be, like, of all ages. I mean, I was, like, growing up with it, so.
Okay.
I just think that,
I still think families was, like, would watch Disney Channel, though, right? I think
that's, I mean, you're technically supposed to, I guess. You're not supposed to just let your child run wild and watch whatever they want. You're supposed to be watching these with them.
Parents, you should be,
Aside from the focusing on Maya and Riley, the show also introduces this character, Lucas, who's like a pretty boy from Texas.
It's Topanga.
He becomes like the Topanga. The relationship is nowhere near.
But essentially he fits in the Topanga role.
Right.
And then there's Farkle,
who's like the Minkus like character.
I guess.
And then we come to discover that he's actually
Minkus. We never talked about Minkus, but.
Because he was like in one or two seasons. But anyway, Farkle turns out to be Minkus's son. So that's a spoiler, guys.
Okay. And then there's Sparkle.
Oh, yeah, that's like a girlfriend that they introduced for Minkus's character, Farkle's character.
And then other than Farkle and Sparkle, there's Zay.
Yeah, he gets introduced later on in the series. I don't remember what point, but...
And he's like Angela, he's the Tolkien POC.
Yeah, without any romantic relationships with anybody else.
Yeah.
Right, that I know of.
I didn't watch every episode. So Girl Meets World still has the same problems of Boy Meets World, as it's really just white and zero representation of people outside of white privilege. They're even more privileged than Corey was because she lives in New York in like a really nice place.
You know, let's talk about Maya's bedroom right from the get-go. She has a bay window.
She has a bay window in New York City.
Her bedroom is like the size of my living room right now. Like that is the size of her bedroom.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. And then Augie, they go to Augie's room every now and then too, which is about this size too. So I can only imagine what palace the bedroom for the master must be.
Yeah,
in this New York City apartment, all right? I also want to know what New York City school just has all these white kids. That was my thing. It was like a public school, no less. Right? If it was a private school, I'd say, all right, fine, believable. But this was a public school that Corey Matthews was teaching.
So many white kids.
And they were just all white.
Yep.
So I don't
know. And well-behaved.
So yeah, so I don't understand how Maya and Riley are even in the same school system, because Corey and Topanga clearly have disposable income based on the luxurious apartment they live in.
Yeah.
And Maya's parents, she's just a single mom who is a struggling actress, which basically means she's just a waitress. So you're telling me that they live in the same neighborhood?
Yeah,
these
right?
These two characters.
Like, she can climb into her bay window?
And they could afford to be in the same school system. So these things were a little implausible. I guess us, like, being in the New York metropolitan area, we know this. Just like, no, there's no reality in this world whatsoever.
All right, so let's continue more about the problems of the show.
That's one of the major problems for me.
Corey is the teacher for Riley in the first season.
Yes.
And yet he's still somehow the teacher in the next season.
Yeah, he pulls Mr. Feeny.
Yeah, he pretty much is like, he's always going to be her teacher. And the favoritism that he shows Riley and her friends is so abhorrent.
Oh, yeah, the entire lesson.
The rest of the other class doesn't exist. He, like, pretty much makes his lessons plans around whatever his daughter is going through.
Yeah, the lessons plans do very much revolve around the first. And my favorite thing about his lessons plans is that they make no sense whatsoever in terms of history.
It's like there's no chronological order.
He's teaching the Trojan War. The next episode, he's teaching the 1960s.
And then he also lets his students, like, completely take over. Maya will just get up and start doing things, and he'll just sit there and be like, huh. Like, he'll just let it happen. He has no control over them.
My favorite parts are whenever the girls, like, just walk out of the class.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, all right.
Or it's I'm not doing this one for you, not this time. And he's like, no, I need your help. You have to do it, Maya. You have to take care of my daughter. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? And if I was one of the other kids in that classroom, I'd be like, can I get an education, please?
Yeah. Nah, you know what? They were enjoying the drama.
Yeah.
The drama of it all.
I guess. It was so unrealistic.
which is funny because Finkel does say that occasionally in a couple of episodes.
Oh, Farkle?
Farkle.
He calls Corey out for his bullshit teaching.
Mr.
Feeny would be so disappointed.
He's almost as inappropriate as Will Schuster.
It's funny because Mr. Feeny's, like, I don't know, spirit. He's not dead, but, like, his spirit shows up in, like, the very, very first episode where, like, Corey's in the subway and he looks and then he sees Feeny standing by a poster of Mr. Feeny for some reason on the subway.
What?
Yeah. This is the very first episode.
I didn't see that episode.
It's like the very last scene. Like, what's it called? Like, there's constantly, for some reason, there's a poster of Mr. Feeny, like, in the subways. Like, right? On those platforms.
Right there.
It's like... And, but I remember Corey turns around, looks at the poster, and then Mr. Feeny's there, and he gives him, like, a, you're doing a good job, basically, nod.
That's clearly in Corey's imagination because he's a terrible teacher.
Mr. Feeny would be furious if this is how a class was being run. If he was the principal of the school, he would fire him. Pretty much, he almost did to Mr. Turner.
Yeah, highly inappropriate behavior with his class and favoritism towards his daughter.
Right.
So I thought that the acting was terrible. The delivery was like the cookie cutter terrible. Too much high energy and too much like blatant delivery, except amplified in this one. Of course, it's a Disney Channel, so I guess they have to be. But I'm tired of I'm tired of saying that. Oh well, it's Disney, so like I wish that they would have made an exception for it. It just gives into the expectations of a show that would be on the Disney Channel, and it didn't try to like do something new.
Well, why would you think that they would try to do anything new on a Disney Channel show?
Because it's about time that they should do something new.
Why?
I mean, well, look at Disney movies, though. Like, even with Frozen, they're like, oh, right, I guess we should, like, wake up to the time period that we're in and, like, tackle something new.
But a TV show, I feel like, is, like, I mean, they're two separate entities.
But in this day and age, they would get way more applause and, like, way more viewers. That's why the show got canceled.
Well, I will touch upon why I think the show got canceled.
Why do you think it got canceled?
We're just going to go right about now. Yeah. So I think one of the reasons the show started off kind of, like, with high ratings in the we're talking like 5 million.
Mm-hmm.
It dropped down to like one.
Yeah.
Like final season. I think one of the reasons the show was picking up so much steam in the first season was because of the nostalgia aspect.
Yes.
I think a lot of that audience that was watching it were more adults.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, they wanted to see, oh my God, what are Corey and Topanga and Sean up to?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why that's you go to the show. That's about how you start off.
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, this show is really about the kids, though. This is like a kids show. I don't know if I want to watch this.
Yeah.
And it eventually, ratings start to drop, and it's just kids watching. So that brings up a question that I had, which was, I don't know, who do you think this show was created for?
Obviously, it was created for the fans of Boy Meets World. But at the same time, they wanted to play it where it's like, well, let's be more realistic and let's look at the new generation. So they wanted a mix of old fans and new fans. They wanted to create, like, they wanted to keep two different audiences happy, and neither audiences really cared.
So I have a theory.
What is it?
My theory is that this show was created for a very, very specific audience.
Which is?
And that is for the children of... the children of anyone who saw Boy Meets World as a kid.
That's so funny because I think that our generation don't have as many children as they think they do.
That's the thing. So when I was thinking about this theory, I was just thinking, like, Jesus, does that mean I'm fucking behind? Like, that I should have a fucking kid watching Girl Meets World?
Yeah. Or
like, what does that mean in my life?
It's no way that that age group actually could have a child, unless they had a child at 16 or something that would be age appropriate to watch Girl Meets World.
16?
Then you'd have to be like...
You think 16 is the age that...
Okay, when did Boy Meets World end?
2000.
Wow, so presumably, if you were born... And you would have to have been born in 1985 in order to actually like have the same child as Riley.
Right. It would be... So I'm 31 right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means I probably would... If I... What I'm expecting. So I'm expecting the kids who watch the show are probably like 8, 9, 10,
mm-hmm.
maybe 11.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm 31. If I want to watch the show with my kids, I would have had to have kids probably when I was like 20, 21, 22 maybe.
And then they would be 9 and this show would still be inappropriate for them, I think.
No, I feel the show was... I could see a 9 or 10-year-old watching this show. It's not like... there's nothing in the show that would at all put
me... Yeah, true. She doesn't go anywhere like too far with Lucas or anything.
No, like I think they barely kiss. They go on a date.
Yeah.
Even by the end of the series, I actually didn't realize that they were together.
They made it for kids, but they were hoping adults would watch too. Especially the 90s nostalgia.
That's the thing. Because it was weird, right? The show makes a lot of references to the original one. Those references would go over the heads of the kids.
Yeah.
You got to wonder. It's just like, what?
Like, who do they think is watching this?
Right.
Yeah.
Obviously, people like us who have to review these shows for podcasts. Yeah. No, the creators were speculating, like, what if we had a show 10 years from now where the Rugrats are adults and we're following the kids of the Rugrats, original Rugrats, right?
Mm.
That was, like, what they had kind of pitched and, like, kind of, like, they're in this special. And I, even as a, however old I was like a lot younger, obviously, watching this special. But even as a kid, I was wondering, I was thinking, it's just like, I don't know if I would watch that. Like, I don't want to watch a show about the kids of the main characters. And that's kind of what was going on here.
Yeah.
If I was going to go, I tended to enjoy the episodes. Again, the episodes that were really focused on like the original cast.
I think,
and
that
less so on the kids.
The moment you take what's special and unique, and the reason why a person would watch the show in the first place, you change that element, then you completely change the show and you isolate your viewers. It's almost too much for a viewer to handle, right? So the problem with revivals too is because, like, so like, okay, with Frasier, right? It was okay, actually Frasier. Really smart of them to end the moment he found love, because the whole show he was looking for it. And he had, like, he was living with his father and then his brother. He had this relationship, right? So when, and then like, that's why I also kind of jumped the shark with Daphne, because of that element, that change that you always liked about that.
I agree, yes.
So like, that's a very simple mm-hmm. thing that they changed. So they changed so much within this, and then they made it for a completely different audience group, and then they completely changed the channel, so then therefore changed the perspective in which the show could be done with and the mm-hmm. atmosphere. So they, like, in a lot of ways, they kind of ruined it, in my opinion. But mm-hmm. as someone who did not grow up with Boy Meets World, as a 29-year-old, like, Hispanic lesbian and all this stuff, I enjoyed Girl Meets World way better.
Interesting.
Than Boy Meets World.
I'm very shocked. So I will admit, I went into Girl Meets World really more excited to see the adults. Mm-hmm. I should have realized, based on the title, that this is obviously not going to be that show.
Yeah.
Obviously.
You were so excited when you texted me about it.
Yeah,
you were
because-
so excited.
I remember when they made the announcement even for Girl Meets World,
mm-hmm.
A lot of people, even my social circle, were just like excited, because they're like, oh my God, I loved Boy Meets World. Yeah. A lot of people, at least in, a lot of people that I know
mm-hmm.
loved Boy Meets World. So there was a lot of excitement when like this talk about like a revival coming, and you know, it's going to be following the daughter. But like, yeah, a lot of the original cast is going to be in it. That's exciting. I think once I set that aside and look at the show objectively as its own show, sure, with ties to the original, the show itself is not a bad show. I agree with you. It's actually an enjoyable show.
Yeah.
Especially for its target audience. I think it's like a wholesome show. If I had a daughter age appropriate, I'd be like, yeah, I'd love to watch this with you, just because it's a cute show.
I don't have that relationship you have. I didn't have the excitement. I had no anticipation actually for either. So Boy Meets World, a 90s television show about growing up a straight white man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Girl Meets World, it's a show about growing up as a girl now. To me, that's just like, it's way more interesting. And also, growing up a girl is, I think, more fascinating, because we haven't had too many shows that really harp on that and put importance on friendship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to jump ahead to the finale of the show when she thought she was going to move to London. And she had a boyfriend, and she said bye to him, like, in 2 seconds. And then the whole episode was coming to terms and saying goodbye to her best friend.
Right.
The relationship between Riley and Maya is so intense. And like, even more amplified than the relationship between Corey and Sean. But I actually like their friendship way more. I'm so happy to see such a positive female friendship, like, especially on the Disney Channel. I don't watch a lot of Disney Channel shows. I don't know how they portray female relationships.
Yeah.
But I know that there isn't this sense in Disney in general of two young girls having a lot of adventures together
mm-hmm.
and just standing by each other's side as like mm-hmm. best friends no matter what. And like, the love of her life is Maya. And ditto.
Ooh.
They love each other. And I'm not putting a lesbian spin on it. I'm so excited to finally see the importance of female friendships being like fed to the younger generations. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, my best friend and I, like, I love them to fucking death.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so happy that I see a show where I think of my best friend when I watch it. I'm like, I've never had that. It's like crazy when you're like, I've never had an experience where I can actually relate through what I'm going through.
Right.
So it's just like, I'm actually really, I applaud the show for that.
Yeah, I'm so happy to hear that, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
I actually thought you were like going to fight me for making you watch these shows.
Oh no, it was absolutely terrible. There was so much about it that made me cringe. There was a lot I didn't like, but the two actresses are so great. You know, they're gorgeous young girls. They're really great actresses, actually.
Yes.
I'm going to be your friend for the rest of your life. We're going to have some conflicts along the way. But do we do? We will work them out. We'll always work them out because we're friends. And if things get rough, maybe we'll throw some ice cream at each other, but We'll still be friends.
So Riley was my least favorite actress out of the two of them.
Okay.
I think Maya for sure. I think she has like a real big future ahead of her.
She does. But at the same time, too, Maya is just like they're delivering sassy lines and she's like the cool composed one. Maybe I'm confusing
the sassiness with like good acting.
Like Riley had she had to like live up to Corey's shoes and like be like weird and awkward and all this stuff. And like she actually pulled it off.
Mm. Okay.
Which is that's a lot more to pull off than just given they're giving sassy one-liners. Both shows are what they are. You know, one show was a TGIF teen family show and another one's a Disney Channel show. So you have to take them for what they are. Mm-hmm. So I can't really be that mad at a Disney Channel show for being a Disney Channel show.
Right.
So like there are things about it that are really good. And you just got to give it to them, especially when it's like positive light. And I will say one more thing. Boy Meets World. One thing we didn't really talk about was that they did a lot of like issue episodes and they tackled
did do a lot of issues,
and
we
talked about sexual harassment and cults and alcoholism. But the nice thing and refreshing thing about Girl Meets World was that every episode was just a nice lesson about how to be a better friend or how to be a better daughter or just like how to like learn your place in the world. And I will take that any other day instead of them trying to make a big fucking issue episode about sexual harassment, because at the end of the day, Topanga just sits second fiddle to Corey, even though she was the one who gets sexually harassed.
It comes down to the format of the show.
Yeah.
Kind of. So Disney Channel itself is a Disney Channel show. They don't have like, not that I think Boy Meets World had any requirements to like be like have those, you know, moment special episodes. But keep in mind, like during, there's a thing in TV called sweeps in which that's when like, you are trying to get the highest ratings at these points because that's going to dictate how much budget you're going to get for the following season, if you're going to get picked up for the following season, right? That's the time period. So usually that's when you get a lot of these like very important special episodes, right? So that's part of the sweeps thing. So that Disney Channel doesn't have that.
Because thank God they don't have
their rating, the way they handle their Nielsen ratings is differently than like a network TV. Again, I agree with you. I enjoyed the show. I think it was a cute show. It was, again, not necessarily my cup of tea, but I also recognize I'm not the target audience. The only reason I would watch a show would be because I want to see catch up with like the original cast, and I think the show delivered on that a lot,
especially in the finale. So once again, Topanga is given an amazing opportunity, and this opportunity is that she can move her family to London to work for their London firm.
London,
right there. If anyone said you want to move to London and like have this much of a salary and live, I'd be like, yeah, I'm not even consulting anyone. But fucking Topanga, who's so like one-dimensional,
different
asks
circumstances.
Everyone in her life.
Different. Hang on, I'm gonna stop you right there. Different circumstances, because she is a mother and a wife. That's not a decision that one person makes.
Hey guys, we're gonna move to one of the four most important cities in the world. We lived in New York. Now let's go to one of the other ones, London, and have one hell of an amazing experience.
I think it's still a decision that would require family input. I don't think you wouldn't be able to just obviously jump into that.
Granted, but at the same time, like, why isn't she being like, hey guys, like, come on, but like, we're going to move to London. Like, think about how fucking cool this is. Mm-hmm. The new experiences, the learning opportunities, the growing, all the good things that can come from it. You're going to miss your friend Maya. It's called like Skype. Okay. Also, like, Topanga not choosing Yale over Corey was devastating. I get not wanting to leave your best friend, and that's more of a reason to kind of, like, stay and stuff. But a friendship is more understanding in that way and can continue when you leave, even though they were convinced it would end. They're 13. What the fuck did they know? Mm-hmm. So it's like there really was no reason for her to not have moved her family to fucking London for one hell of an amazing experience. And once again, Topanga has disappointed me. Or the portrayal of Topanga has disappointed me. Future family, if I get an offer in London, we're moving. No ifs, ands, or buts. No consultations. Pack your fucking bags.
You're more upset, like, overall, like, what does that mean for Topanga as a character, right? I guess I'm looking at it more from, like, the bookends of the series.
Just the terrible life choices this woman has made, man.
I think it was a very nice way of... I think the episode itself, though, outside of that decision, was a very nice callback to the original series finale. I also enjoyed the fact that they brought so many characters from the original series.
Yeah,
you did get to see Mr. Feeny. We got to see the two Morgans. So you didn't know this because...
Very confused by that.
The reason there are two Morgans in the series finale is because there were two different actresses that played Morgan after the character disappears for like half a season or a season. Okay. And that's why it's so... I thought that was weird to bring that back in the show, but I guess it's like a little wink to the fans.
Yeah.
Again, my question becomes like, who the fuck is this show for?
Yeah, seriously. Right? Yeah.
And then they had Mr. Feeny. Mr. Feeny, though, basically does say what you're saying.
Why
in
am
like,
I here?
Yeah, in nice, well, in nice ways, right? He's saying like, why am I here? And more importantly, he's like, I told you to go to Yale.
Yes. And I already know where this
like,
is going.
He's yeah. just, yeah, he keeps saying, just stop throwing away your opportunities. But he's Mr. Feeny. No one's listening to him anymore.
Yeah,
apparently.
Pretty much. Yeah, like he knows what's best, but they're not going to do what's best. They just want to hear it.
And also in the very, very last episode, Sean officially adopts Maya.
Yes.
Or at least announces that he's going to.
Cute.
And that's when they also bring back Mr. Turner. Oh, the show, I think for me, wrapped up quite nicely for a series.
And I think three seasons was actually good enough for the show.
I think that's about the average though for most Disney shows.
I guess, like, yeah. I don't know. Three seasons. For, when We 12 was on for seven. Oh,
again, different. I agree. I think the show should have ended probably at senior year of high school, but yeah. That's just me.
True.
Yeah. So, but I guess the main question now becomes, do you think this revival was needed?
I don't think it was needed, but we inadvertently got something unique out of it. They wanted to capitalize off of 90s nostalgia and like falsely lure people into a Boy Meets World revival. And then instead they got this brand new thing. But out of it, if you were someone like me benefited from it the most, but if you were someone who didn't know the Boy Meets World, you could have actually appreciated what you got out of it, which was a refreshing new take on young female relationship friendships. We didn't need a Boy Meets World revival, but what we did need was this show that we got under the guise of a Boy Meets World revival called Girl Meets World. That's what we needed. But we don't need any more Cory and Topanga in anybody's lives. Nobody needs that. Just if you want Cory and Topanga, rewatch some of your old favorite episodes.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think you're right. It's not a show that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'll say it. Once they announced this, I was just like, ah, my God, Boy Meets World is coming back. And then I watch it. It's just like, oh, this is not what I asked for. However, realizing I am not the target audience for this network. This not even the show itself, like the network itself. I'm not like who they're targeting. At least I hope that's not who they're targeting, right? I think the show... it's cute enough where it's just like, you know what, like let it have its own life
for sure.
And I think I'll be happy just watching supercuts of anytime they focus on anytime they focus on the original cast. That's what, you know, that's how the show will live on forever for me, you know.
All right, so let's do a lightning round.
How do we so I don't know how we're doing a lightning round, but so
I'm gonna conduct this one, all right, because okay? you really love your Boy Meets World.
Sure.
So I'm gonna surprise you with some of these.
Oh, I'm
Cory or Riley?
Cory.
Riley,
really?
Oh yeah. Her awkwardness and naivete I find a little more charming than his.
I relate more to Corey's awkwardness because I guess I'm still going through that awkwardness.
Okay.
Of like, you know, I hate my skin, like I'm constantly breaking out, and I feel like Cory had those issues but just never talked about it on TV.
Okay, I'm there. You're making it all about you, but okay,
it is all about me. This is these are my feelings for the lightning round.
Right. Sean or Maya?
Maya. Maya. Better.
Mm-hmm. Topanga or Lucas?
Oh, Topanga.
This is a hard one. Can I like plead the fifth and say neither? Because like Topanga, you know, like you almost had me, and this is more to the writers, but like you messed up. Let's now do an overall Boy Meets World or Girl Meets World.
Oh, I'm going to say Boy Meets World.
Okay.
That's, again, probably nostalgia speaking on that one.
Yeah. What do you think I'm going to say?
Girl Meets World?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the revival better.
Are we...
Isn't this crazy?
It is. Are we, what's it called? Are we liking these because, like, they're supposed to be catered towards our genders? Like, you know, Boy Meets World clearly dealt with more boy problems. Girl Meets World deals with, like,
well, yeah, but, like, you know, we can only relate to things through, like, if this is trying to relate to us as young people navigating, and it's, like, a mirror reflection of what it's like to be, you know, young and in high school and falling in love, and it wants to relate to you as if they're your friends and stuff, then you're going to gravitate to the things that you've related to more, period.
Yeah,
you know? So, like, I wouldn't have hung out with Cory. I wouldn't have hung out with either friend group, but I would have secretly wanted to be Riley and Maya's friend. I would have perfectly been okay not being Cory or Sean's or Topanga's.
I wanted
to be Angela's friend.
I wanted to be Eric's friend, to be honest.
That fucking murderer.
All right. Well, I think that's about all she wrote on Boy and Girl Meets World. Mm-hmm. So I guess you know that means.
Let's get some news.
All right, Eddie Z, what have you got for us?
Okay, Netflix is releasing a 10-episode series based on the movie from the 80s, The Dark Crystal.
Oh my God.
Which one's The Dark Crystal?
The most memorable characters would be the weird lizard creatures and the one guy who always went,
No.
You remember him?
No.
His whimper. Oh, God, I forget the character's name, but I'm tired of your whimper. And like he barely spoke and he would just be like, enter the room and be like,
Wow. No idea. So is this, you know, if this Netflix thing is it going to be animated? Is it going to be.
Yeah, the Jim Henson Company is also taking on the project. It's, you know, it's his son and is also and his daughter, too. She's one of the leads on this project, Lisa Henson.
That's interesting. So this is definitely a revival.
Yeah.
I think, I don't think I've ever seen this movie, to be quite honest, though.
So I'm a huge Jim Henson fan, but I'm like a Jim Henson Muppets and Sesame Street fan. So I didn't watch this film until I was an adult. And when I watched it, I was really high. I think I ate an edible. And it actually really disturbed me. Especially because of the character that the whole time went, who I do a really good impersonation of, by the way. Look it up on YouTube.
I gotta check it out.
So I'm interested to see how they'll redo this. I think what works about it is like the 80s puppetry and like the fact that by today's standard it's dated, but like I don't want to see it all CGI'd. I loved the fact that it was like pure Jim Henson in the lab created.
Hopefully this is like one of the, you know how we complain about Beauty and the Beast, the use of just full CGI. I think it's one of those things where like I agree with you. I think if you bring out some puppetry and just like you're cleaning it up a little bit with CGI,
yeah,
that's fine. So I had no attachment to this property, so like I'm impartial to it. I don't know about you, how you're feeling about it.
I don't think we need it, so I mean I'll give it a shot when it comes out, but I'm actually not excited.
It is Netflix. Netflix has a good, I don't know if they have the best track record, but they have a pretty good track record in terms of.
Sorry, I had to burp.
Anyway, I guess that's about it. Nicole.
I think that's the clue for us to end. Yeah.
Nicole, always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks again, Josh and Eddie Z.
All right. I guess until next week, stay unoriginal.